Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. The Titans got their guy. Brian Callahan will be the Tennessee Titans' next head coach, former offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. And joining us to give a perspective from Cincinnati, what was Brian Callahan's role in Cincinnati? Is Mo Egger, who hosts Afternoon Drive for ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Mo, appreciate you for joining us. First and foremost, what are the Titans getting in their new head coach, Brian Callahan?
You know, I think the best examples that I could give you to illustrate his impact in Cincinnati, there's three of them. The first would be he was the offensive coordinator when the Bengals drafted Joe Burrow. Now, that sounds like a pretty easy gig, and to a degree it is, but they drafted Joe Burrow during the COVID year, during the pandemic. So no mini camp. Training camp was weird. They had to teach the offense virtually. He was sitting in his parents' house in Athens, Ohio, and yet in that first game, Joe Burrow played like a guy who was far more experienced than he actually was. I've always felt like the offensive coaching staff doesn't get the credit they deserve for getting him up to speed and getting him ready to play in the NFL week one with no preseason games at all. That's number one. I think number two, this team made the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And you guys obviously know, on their way, they beat the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans sacked Joe Burrow 9 times that day. Why? Because the offensive line was atrocious. I don't think this coaching staff has gotten the credit it deserves for figuring out ways to win hard games on the road, playoff games, tough regular season games, knowing that every single week they had to design game plans around an offensive line that was a disaster. They didn't take off offensively. They scored 5 touchdowns in the 3 playoff games they won, but they still designed functional game plans around an offensive line that was terrible. I think that's really good coaching. I think the other thing is, you know, you saw the Bengals at the end of the year. They hung in the race with a backup quarterback who had never played prior to this year in Jake Browning. And I think the job that the offensive coaching staff did in bringing him along, teaching him the system, getting him up to speed, and then kind of adjusting the way they call plays on the fly and the way the offense works on the fly using an offensive system that frankly was not entirely different, but visually much different from the one that Joe Burrow runs. I feel like the offensive coaching staff deserves a lot of that credit too. Obviously, Zach Taylor being the play caller is going to get a lot of that credit. I feel like Brian Callahan's role in doing each of those three things, though, has been instrumental, and it's why I think he deserves an opportunity to be a head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Mo Egger is with us, and that was one thing that Titans fans, the reaction of the hiring Brian Callahan, maybe one concern they had was, okay, well, how great of a coach is Brian Callahan, and also how much of it is just you have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But I think one chapter of that story that often goes overlooked is Jake Browning. You know, you have an undrafted free agent that comes in when Joe Burrow gets hurt. He ends up going 4-2 in the 6 games that he's a starter. What was Brian Callahan's role in the development of Jake Browning? And maybe what did you see as somebody who covers the team, his development, Jake Browning's development as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think if anything, what you saw is they didn't try to fit a square peg into a round hole. You know, with Joe Burrow, here's how the offense works. You put him in the shotgun, you give him an empty backfield, you let him read the defense and let him do his thing. With Jake Browning, it was a lot more under center with a running back, sometimes 2 running backs in the backfield. It looked like football in 1996. You know, just getting him, putting him in a position where they designed a really good screen game around what he does, giving him a chance to use, you know, misdirections and stuff like that, that we typically don't see, elements of the offense that we don't see when Joe Burrow was back there. I think that Brian Callahan and Zach Taylor and Dan Pitcher did a really good job of putting Jake Browning in a position where he could have some success. Now, the success was limited, I think, in large part because, you know, Jake is a backup quarterback. But I'll even go back to 2020, which was a miserable season for the Bengals. Joe Burrow, his rookie season, he gets hurt week 10. They were awful. And then at the end of the year, they win a game with Ryan Finley playing quarterback on Monday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they win a game a week later with Brandon Allen playing quarterback on the road against the Houston Texans. I think all of that, plus the Jake Browning stuff, showed an ability to adjust on the fly, to adjust to circumstance, to adjust to the personnel they have, And again, you know, because Zach Taylor is the head coach and he's an offensive guy, whenever we talk about, you know, who should get the credit for those things, the conversation's going to start with him. But Brian Callahan has been instrumental in all of those things I just tried to outline.
We'll talk with Mo Eggert, 15:30 drive time there in Cincinnati. Now, Mo, more importantly than, you know, Brian coming here, it's, well, who is going to be his assistant coaches? And you mentioned one name that I brought up, Dan Pitchard, and then also Troy Walters. Can you see one of those guys or even both of those guys coming with them? And how difficult would it be to sort of get them out of their contract?
Well, the contractual stuff would probably require somebody who's looked at their contract. The Bengals, it's interesting. In their history, they've allowed coaches to leave if they've had opportunities to be coordinators. They've also blocked coaches who have had an opportunity to go be a coordinator. Marvin Lewis did that famously with Vance Joseph when he had a chance to go become a defensive coordinator, and he was the secondary coach. Frankly, we really haven't seen the Bengals deal with this over the last 5 years. The remarkable thing about getting to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and getting back to the AFC Championship game last year is they've held on to the same coaching staff. They've had continuity. So what Zach is going to do is, I think it remains to be seen. Marvin Lewis was a guy who would sort of go on a case-by-case basis. My guess is the Bengals will offer the offensive coordinator job to Dan Pitcher. And if they do so, my guess is he will accept that, because why wouldn't you want to remain tethered to Joe Burrow? Why wouldn't you want to do Brian Callahan's job and know that if you do it well, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get a look to be the head coach? I think Troy Walters is interesting because, look, if there's one thing the Bengals have become known for, it's being really good at the wide receiver position. You talk to Ja'Marr Chase, you talk to T. Higgins, you talk to Tyler Boyd, you talk to the two guys they drafted this year, Andre Yoshivash from Princeton and Charlie Jones from Purdue. They will each speak very effusively about Troy's role in their individual development. So my guess is, let's say Dan Pitcher were to leave and maybe not be offered the offensive coordinator job here, it's going to be because they want Troy Walter to be the guy. My guess is, though, that Dan's going to be offered the gig here. My guess is he would accept. And then we'll see how the Bengals handle it with Troy, because it's Zach Taylor and because he's so tight with Brian Callahan. My guess is he's going to want to give his buddy a chance to hire his own guys, which means pretty good chance he'll get somebody from the Cincinnati coaching staff.
Now, with that being said, you know, I think the part that, you know, that have, you know, people have sort of been skeptical about was the play calling part. But I'm not too worried about that, because I believe that, listen, he put in enough work during the week that he helped put together an offensive game plan for then Zach Taylor to go out and execute it. But can he be a leader of 53-plus men? How do the other players see Brian Callahan? Do they love him? Is he a guy that people sort of gravitated to within that organization?
They love Zach Taylor, and they view Brian Callahan as an extension of Zach Taylor, more of an extension of Zach Taylor than anybody on the staff. I think, you know, Zach took this job and the Bengals were an absolute mess. And so, you know, the number of things that were thrown at him those first 2 years, I don't know how any coach would have succeeded more than Zach did. And he won six games over those first two seasons. So what did that mean? It meant that Zach had to delegate a lot of responsibility. You know, he's trying to get his program going, trying to reestablish the culture. He's trying to flip the roster. He's trying to put his fingerprints all over the roster. He's trying to learn how to become a head coach for the first time. So by his own admission, he wasn't as in the weeds with developing the offense and setting a tone on the offensive side of the ball and coaching those guys up on the offensive side of the ball as much as he would like to be, as much as maybe he is now. Brian Callahan was really central to that. And I'll say this, you know, the Bengals, those first two seasons, it's easy to look at what they've done since 2021 and go, well, they've had better players, and that's true. I'll say this, and I said this often, Bengals went 2-14 with a terrible roster in 2019. They went 4-11-1 with only a slightly better roster in 2020. I never watched them and thought, these guys aren't playing hard. I never watched them and thought, this coaching staff is losing the locker room. I never watched that and thought, you know what, these guys want to play for somebody else. Is most of that a reflection of Zach Taylor? Yes. Is it also a reflection of the coaching staff as a whole? Without question. And again, the guy who I've always felt like is an extension of Zach Taylor is Brian Callahan. So I think that all reflects very well on him.
Mo Eggers with a sports talk show host up in Cincinnati. And Mo, I'm curious, as the Titans move on from the Derrick Henry era, it certainly looks like they're going to do that. It's not 100% certain, but maybe 90%. We'll put a number on it. But what about the running philosophy of Brian Callahan? How does he like to use his running backs? We were looking at Joe Mixon's numbers. Obviously, he was really good at his best, but they've used other guys. So how do you think he goes about it?
Well, I think if you're to look at the Bengals, again, at their most successful 2 years ago, Joe Mixon's a good NFL back, but he's not a guy who's going to hit a lot of home runs. This is also a team that as they have developed Joe Burrow and as they have, you know, added to the wide receiver room, look, their philosophy has been when we run the ball, we're doing what the other team's defensive coordinator wants us to do. So we're not going to feature the run. We're going to use the run to complement what we're trying to do, throwing the ball. I think if there is one thing that you could maybe – kind of glean from how he used his backs here. They adjusted from year to year what the scheme was going to look like because they never really had a great running game. But when he had Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine, he was able to use both in a way that made the most of their individual skill sets. With Joe Mixon, it's running powerfully. It's the ability to catch passes out of the backfield. With Samaje Perine, a far better running back in terms of pass protection, the guy they wanted in the two-minute drill. Without Samaje Perine this year, the running back room really never recaptured what they had in 2021 and 2022. They never leaned on one guy specifically, especially if you go back to 2022. They did a good job when Joe Mixon had to miss games of getting Samaje Perine to the point where he could, you know, be productive and spell Joe quite nicely. But the reality here is this has never been, at least since 2020, a run-first football team. It's always been, we want to run it effectively, we want to run it efficiently, but we want to run it sparingly because, as you could understand, we got Joe Burrow, we got T. Higgins, we got Ja'Marr Chase. We're going to let those guys do their thing. Toward the end of the season this year, though, when Jake Browning was the quarterback, they tapped into some things using the running backs. And again, if you go back and watch, they played the Indianapolis Colts. Their screen game that day was unlike anything I've ever seen. And I think most of that came or started on the desk of Brian Callahan.
You would have a much better feel for the Bengals cap situation now in this new Joe Burrow contract than we would here. I think the dream for a lot of Titans fans is T. Higgins. He's from East Tennessee. Maybe he gets a cap squeeze. Could he hit the market, or do you think for sure the Bengals would tag him and keep him?
I think if you were to listen to Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor the day after the season ended, when, you know, first of all, Joe, there was no ambiguity about it, wants T. Higgins back. Zach Taylor later that day said, can't imagine life without T. Higgins. Now, I don't think that's going to add up to a long-term contract because invariably the math is going to catch up to you unless you don't want to re-sign Ja'Marr Chase, and they certainly do. I've gone from thinking, you know, we wondered when Joe got hurt this year, okay, has he thrown his last pass to T. Higgins? And you would find a lot of people who said yes. I think now, look, anybody with this organization who speaks on anything publicly is doing so in very measured tones. They're not going to come out and say something like, can't imagine life without T. Higgins, unless they plan on bringing him back. And so the expectation here is they franchise tag him. The Bengals have never done a franchise tag in trade, and so I don't think that's likely. I think we're going to be talking about it being sort of a lame duck season for T. Higgins and him hitting free agency at the end of this year. But the expectation, I think, for all involved is he will be a member of the Bengals in 2024.
We're talking with Mo Egger. He does Sports Talk Radio in Cincinnati. He's covered the Cincinnati Bengals for a long time. Mo, one thing that Amy Adams Strunk, Titans controlling owner, and general manager Rand Carthon has emphasized throughout this entire process is collaboration. That they want the head coach to work with the GM, to work with the owner, that they want it kind of to be an all-hands-on-deck process. Just based off of Brian Callahan's time in Cincinnati with Zach Taylor, What kind of collaborative process is he coming from? And does that seem like something that he would be fully on board with, is this quote-unquote collaborative process here in Tennessee?
Yeah, I think the fact that the Bengals have had, you know, obviously this year was disappointing from the standpoint of them not making the postseason, but, you know, if you look at the franchise turnaround, I think it's been mainly a result of some really good people doing a really good job of working with each other. And most importantly, in Cincinnati, the owner allowing them to do what they want to do. I think Duke Tobin, who is the de facto general manager here, would tell you the quality and depth of the roster that they enjoyed in 2021 and 2022 was the result of a coaching staff that had a certain vision and a player personnel guy whose vision meshed with what the coaches brought in. You know, Duke Tobin has been here forever. And so, you know, they kind of the coaching staff sort of walked into somebody who was already in charge of building the roster. And I think they did a really good job. This wasn't Duke picks the players, Zach and Brian and Lou Anarumo coach them. It was Duke's going to have final say. I guess the owner can have veto power. But the way they build the roster is going to occur very much through the lens of Zach Taylor and then his hand-selected coaches. And so, yeah, you know, I think if you were to look, I'll go back to 2021, the draft. They had the number 5 overall pick. Everybody argues, should they take a wide receiver, Jamar Chase, or an offensive tackle in Penei Sewell? Neither decision would have been wrong. And both guys are very good players, but everybody was on board with, we're taking Jamar. And that decision came at the end of a very long, drawn-out process where they discussed trading the pick. They discussed the merits of taking a lineman. They discussed the merits of taking Jamar Chase. They discussed every conceivable possibility. Ultimately, they got it right. Nothing against Penei Sewell. And I think that decision strongly was influenced by every coach we've talked about, Dan Pitcher, Troy Walter, Zach Taylor, but Brian Callahan had a lot to do with it as well.
I thought that move was crazy at the time that they did it. And that's saying something. I went to LSU and I thought that was crazy, but it shows how much I know about what Joe Burrow needed around him. Mo Egger is with us. Last one for you, Mo. If there was in maybe a few words that could kind of summarize what Brian Callahan has been able to do with quarterbacks, I think I view this move as the Titans bringing in a coach to help Will Levis, to help the young quarterback. How would you describe maybe his work and his relationships with the quarterbacks that you've seen him work with in Cincinnati?
Didn't screw it up. Knew what they had. Look, we got a guy we can turn over the entire team to. We got a guy that we don't need to fix. We got a guy. We're going to build everything we do around this guy. And that sounds simple. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I'll go back to that first year, the fact that they got Joe ready to play the first game is something that to this day I don't think it's talked about enough. But look, you know how this league works, man. Everybody wants to show how smart they are. This staff and Brian Callahan, I'll say in particular, were very good at, okay, we've got a Corvette. We've got a Ferrari. We've got the keys to it. Let's not go and screw it up. And let's surround him with the guys he needs to succeed. Let's build a system that really plays to his strengths. And it worked. It worked. And, you know, again, people are going to make a big deal about Brian Callahan not calling the plays. I think if you understand the process of building an offense and building it with the pieces that they had and have in place now, you understand that the offensive coordinator, regardless of whether he's screaming the call into the headset of the quarterback, is very instrumental in that process.
Mo, you mentioned a Ferrari. Obviously, Jake Browning is probably not a Ferrari, but he played really well. It was intriguing there. Do you think he could be a starter someday in the league?
Someday, yes. Yeah, I'm of the belief he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league, and Jake Browning will tell you that. The thing is, he can't go anywhere. He is an exclusive rights, restricted free agent, which essentially means, as you guys know, Bengals put a piece of paper in front of him, and if Jake Browning wants to be an NFL player in 2024, he has no choice but to sign it. I think he played well enough that you could imagine him being a starting QB in the NFL. I think the Bengals value the depth at that position. And look, Joe Burrow has played 4 seasons. 2 of them have been interrupted by injury. I think they love the idea of having a reliable and cheap backup quarterback. And Jake Browning has expressed he understands it. He's resigned to that fate in the short term. What he could hope for is that he takes advantage of an opportunity again if it presents it to him here in Cincinnati. And at the very least, that the work he did with the Bengals is remembered by coaches and personnel people when he finally does hit free agency later down the road.
Mo Egger, Mo, appreciate you for joining us. Thank you for your time and all of your insight, and we'll be chatting with you soon.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Mo Egger, he does fantastic work covering the Cincinnati Bengals and sports in Cincinnati with Sports Talk in Cincinnati. We'll react to what Mo Egger had to say there, some insight as to what went on behind the scenes with the offensive coaching staffs with the Bengals. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll also get into your phones as well. Your reaction to Brian Callahan being named the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, DeMace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Plus, you can also tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores will take on Tennessee at home. That'll be a fun game. Tip-off is at 5 p.m. with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app.